Well, good morning. Welcome back to the God School. I was reminded recently that we had an anniversary last week. This is the beginning of the 12th year of the God School. 12 is in biblical numerology the number of perfect government. And in the 9th chapter of the book of Isaiah, the 6th verse says this: "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David, upon his kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice, from henceforth, even forever." The zeal of the Lord will perform it. Last week, I did not do a new message. I've been working on a passage that, with God's help today, I want to bring to you. And I hope that the contrast between the Word of God and the traditions of men, and I'm talking today about the doctrines of men, I'm talking about the doctrines that for 2,000 years have been promulgated by the church rather than the awesome, the stupefying, the glorious doctrine of God. Open your Bibles, please, to the 10th chapter of Romans. Paul, who makes a declaration, a repeat of a declaration, in the 17th verse of chapter 1, wherein he says, as it is written, the King James says, "The just shall live by faith." The Greek says, "The righteous by faith shall live." He's quoting the 4th verse of the 2nd chapter of the book of Habakkuk, wherein the literal Hebrew translation is the righteous ones of me, God speaking, by the amen of him, that is, the no doubt of Jesus Christ, shall live. And Paul, in this wonderful, his probably most philosophic presentation of the gospel in this book of Romans, the emphasis here is righteousness. The righteous by faith shall live. That is, our righteousness comes by faith, even the faith of Jesus Christ. Now, last couple of weeks, we have included recordings from teaching 10 years ago on the 7th and 8th chapter of the book of Romans. Today, I want to get into the 10th chapter, wherein Paul says, actually, let's go to the 9th chapter, the 31st verse. It says, but Israel followed after the law of righteousness and has not attained to the law of righteousness. Why? Wherefore, it says, because they sought it not by faith, but as if were by the works of the law. For they stumbled at that stumbling stone. As it is written, behold, I lay in Zion a stumbling stone and a rock of offense, and whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed, or shall not be confounded. Brethren, he continues on, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. Not according to enlightenment. In that third chapter of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about the light on Moses' face, which was such that it caused his face to shine, but he had to hide it from the people. He had to hide it because the light was fading. Moses, a type of the law. And he goes and he talks about the brighter light, the good news of the gospel. This is the enlightenment. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness, wherein Paul spoke in the third chapter, where he says, but now a righteousness of God is revealed, or is manifest, without the law, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even a righteousness of God, which is by the faith of God. Jesus Christ unto all and upon all the faithing ones. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted. The word here is a sense of the word obedience, that is to run to the voice of the sayer. They have not submitted themselves unto what God is speaking through the gospel of Jesus Christ, through the gospel of God, have not in obedience submitted. They have not come under that spell, if you will, part of that word gospel, the influence of the word, have not submitted themselves unto righteousness for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that faiths, or that faitheth. We've got to, from the very beginning, we have said in this English translation, the word believe is not, does not give sufficient understanding of what Paul is saying. Pistuo and its derivatives, to every one that faitheth. Christ, for Christ, is the end of the law for righteousness. He says, for they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, this is what's been going on for 2,000 years in the Church of Jesus Christ. If you're a Christian, then you will do this and won't do that. Do not do that. Do not do this. Do not do that. Do this. Do that. Brothers and sisters, I give a testimony of myself. I, from time to time, probably every day, fall in to that view of myself, questioning whether or not my righteousness, my activity in this body of sin is sufficient to please God. No, it's not. And not in you either. Because it is by faith only that we can please God. And whether it be our conscience, which views us in the shortfall and condition, or whether it be the brethren,
that is, those in the church.
I've said before, so many times, that word in the English church, I don't have time, but the word in the church means, the word church means a people who belong to the Lord. And Paul here, having spent 9 chapters talking about righteousness, says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. Stop looking at yourself. Don, stop judging yourself. Look at Christ and what he has done. Many years ago, we had a faithful woman that was part of the congregation of the God School who provided funds to print an excerpt out of Fox's Book of Martyrs, which I found so compelling, I thought it should be put to print, and she provided the way that it might be. I still have a few left. If there are any new listeners out there who would like to get this little book, it is an excerpt done by a man by the name of Patrick Hamilton. It was done almost 500 years ago. I want to share with you just one little excerpt from that little booklet. It's called A Light in the Darkness. If you want it, just press the comment section on the website on this message and send me your name and address. I'm not looking to send out letters or anything like that. I'm just happy to provide some material that brings even further light to the Word of God. But he compares the light of the law to the light of the gospel. And in this one little section, he says, the contrary operation of the law and of the gospel. He says, the law says, pay your debt. The gospel says, Christ has paid it. The law says, you're a sinner, despair, and you shall be damned. The gospel says, your sins are forgiven you. Be of good comfort. I would say courage. That's the word Jesus used. For you shall be saved. The law says, make amends for your sins. The gospel says, Christ has made it for you. The law says, the Father of heaven is angry with you. The gospel says, Christ has pacified him with his blood. I would add, with his life. The law says, where is your righteousness, goodness, and satisfaction? The gospel says, Christ is your righteousness, your goodness, and satisfaction. The law says, you are bound and obliged to me, to the devil, to hell, the gospel says, Christ has delivered you from them all. I'm just going to go on to the next page because it continues to give an illustration. Headline, The Doctrine of Faith. Faith is, I've given you my definition too often, very often, draw it to mind. Faith is to believe God, like as Abraham believed God, and the scripture actually says, like as Abraham amened God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. To believe God is to believe his word and to count it true in what he says. He that believes not God's word believes not God himself. He that believes not God's word counts God a liar and believes not that he may and will fulfill his word. And so he denies both the might of God and God himself. Faith, he says, is a gift of God. Here's the argument. He gives a rhetorical argument. Everything good is the gift of God. Faith is good. Ergo, faith is a gift of God. How is it that we have this word that says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness? Interestingly enough, this word, righteousness, translated in the or from the Greek, the word in the Greek is dikaiosynenon. It is in the accusative case. And that means it's being done on. It's not generated inside. It's being done on us. Not only the beginning of our 12th year, but also this is the 500th anniversary of the Protestant Reformation of the Church of Jesus Christ, wherein one grabbed hold of that declaration that the righteous by faith shall live and changed the face of the church in Europe. And the good news of Jesus Christ began again to be preached throughout the whole world. But in these days, in this present evil world, so many of have reverted to the gospel or to the law of works to prove their Christianity, that we must again and continually bring this message of the good news of God, of which we are not ashamed, and make it available to God's chosen people. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that faitheth. For Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaketh on this wise, speaketh this way, say not in your heart, who shall ascend into heaven? That is, to bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is, to bring Christ again up from the dead. But what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess, boy, have those perverts who give another gospel, that's what Paul calls them in the first chapter of Galatians. Have they jumped on that word? The word is homologios. It means to speak with your mouth. To make it vocal. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall faith, properly translated, in thine heart, that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. The banner on the God school speaks and declares that the resurrection of Jesus Christ is the foundation of Christianity. We have that picture of Christ at his resurrection coming through the rock. Molecular displacement is nothing for God. And for faith, God not only puts us in Christ, but he puts a part of himself in us. That if thou shalt vocalize with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall faith in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. For with the heart man faiths unto righteousness. and with the mouth, proclamation is made unto salvation. It sets us into that orbit. I'm not going to go and repeat, go back and listen to that short message of a few weeks ago on soterion. For the scripture says, whosoever faiths on him shall not be ashamed. For there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all and is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not faithed? And how shall they faith in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? So many years ago, in a religious frame of mind, when I first got my first Bible, I've told the story before. I'll tell it quickly. I was 26 years old. Been in the church, 26 years. Born, raised, educated. In the church. It took 26 years for a Bible to get into my hands. Oh, I had the missals and all the other crap that the church provides in celebrating their ceremonies and their sacraments and their doctrines of men. And I open this Bible in sincere pursuit of God. And I have to tell you, all it did for me was condemn me. Because everywhere I turned, it described me perfectly. A sinner. And by God's grace, as I was dealing with this for a few years, by God's grace, He gifted. Oh, what a gift. He gifted me a preacher who, through teaching the Word of God and not the doctrines of men, brought me into the glorious light, that is, enlightened me as to the good news of Jesus Christ. And how shall they hear without a preacher? I'm telling you, my testimony is I couldn't. And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace. That is, you know, shalom, peace, cessation of againstness. God is not against us anymore. You know, in the Greek, the word is eirene, and it means to be set together again. How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace, that bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not obeyed the gospel. They haven't given ear. They haven't run to the voice of the sayer. They haven't run to the voice of God. They haven't run to the word of God, that God revealing himself to us, which we call the Bible. They have not all obeyed the gospel. For they, going about to establish their own righteousness, for Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report, our preaching? Lord, the literal Hebrew is, Lord, who has amened our report? Who has put no doubt that Christ is the end of the law for righteousness? Am I excited about that? You're damn right I am. For my hope is like your hope. Our hope is in Christ, our righteousness. Who has put no doubt in our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Not the traditions of men, not the doctrines of men, but hearing by the word of God. So, in this study I've been doing reading from a book called A Man in Christ by James Stewart, as important a book as I've ever read outside of God's Word, he says, the conviction in which Paul's mind, as it explored the whole matter, finally came to rest was this, that the law, having fulfilled its purpose, was destined to pass away. Paul tells us in Galatians 4 that the third chapter of Galatians, that the law was a schoolmaster to teach us. What did it teach us? Our need of another way to receive or have or be righteous. Because all the law could do was condemn. It's not that the law was bad. Paul tells us in the seventh chapter, the law was good. But it could not help that the law, having fulfilled its purpose, was destined to pass away. To cling to it, when its work was done, would be to do irreparable damage to the cause of, Stuart says, vital religion. I don't like religion. To the cause of vital faith. Christ, he says, is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that faiths. This truth is expressed with vivid pictorial effect in the letter to the Colossians. There, Paul depicts Christ, the champion of defeated souls, coming suddenly upon the scene when the verdict of condemnation had been pronounced, taking the document on which the sentence of death stood written, blotting out the fatal decree and nailing it to the cross. That's read Colossians 2:14. Stewart goes on to say, we know that in those days it was the common custom, when a criminal was executed, publicly to placard his crime. A brief description of the charge on which the man had been condemned was written out and nailed to the cross itself. And it is possible that Paul, in the famous picture in Colossians, is referring to this practice. With a stroke of imaginative genius, he of inspiration by the Holy Spirit, I would say, he sees above Jesus' head, not the historic superscription, the King of the Jews, but the condemnation pronounced on mankind by the law. And the truth which he wishes to drive home is that Christ, by dying, has ended the law's claim on man and satisfied its ultimate demands and thus finished its tyranny forever. Those who want to bring back the law and deny Jesus Christ and what he has done for us, they're tyrants. But God has some who are still preaching the good news of the gospel. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to all the ones faithing. We'll end with this. 1 Corinthians first chapter, 29th verse, that no flesh should glory in his presence. That is, no flesh should boast in his presence, not flesh. But of him, that is, of God, are ye in Christ Jesus. Speaking of Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that according as it is written, he that boasteth, let him boast in the Lord. That's why we call it the God School. We're showing off what God, who was in Christ, has done. To all that are faithing. It's a daily walk, folks. The inward man is renewed day by day. We are a new creation in Christ Jesus. We no longer attempt to fulfill or get our righteousness from the law. Our righteousness comes by faith, and even that is a gift of God in Jesus Christ. And I was going to end, but I want to say this. This is not my message. This is not the message of Don Callahan. This is the message of one sent by God in the same sense that when Gideon faced all his doubts, God's response said, go in this thy might, have not I sent thee? If this preacher has caused the gospel to become effective in you and in your spirit, and caused you to grow in confidence in the Word of God, I want to hear from you. I don't care if you have responded 1,000 times or never. If you hear this message, please, for your own sake and for my sake, leave me a comment. You can do it simply by clicking on the comment section. In this message. And that's the God School for today.